Welcome to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. Thanks for joining us today. We're really believing that you'll benefit from the message that you're about to hear. A big thank you to those of you who share our podcast on social media, and thanks for rating and reviewing us on iTunes. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.
Okay, we're looking at a series called Putting All Your Eggs in One Basket. And what we're looking at is, what is it like to follow Jesus and to help other people follow Jesus? Putting all the egg in the discipleship, being discipled by Jesus, but helping other people in their discipleship journey and being part of that discipleship journey. And I encourage you, if you've missed part of what we're talking about, go back and you can watch it on all of the different channels that we have that works. But we looked at a couple of weeks ago, the whole idea of discipleship is a journey to follow Jesus. It is a process. It's not a destination. It's that we are still disciples of Jesus. Regardless of how long you have made a commitment to follow Jesus, but that actually it starts probably even before you, to quote Christian language, pray a sinner's prayer, some what I'm going to call catalytic moment that changes your thing. Jesus, we looked at the whole idea. He spent about 18 months trying to find people that he could actually bring towards the faith journey. He does lots of things. He ministers, he prays, he heals people, all this stuff. And actually then in the last part of that, calls his disciples, Peter and John and all the others that we looked at. And then last week we looked at the whole idea of this person of peace, this person that God is at work in their life, and he wants to use us. We partner with him. He's already at work in people's life. God is at work already today. And we have an opportunity to disciple people toward faith and in faith, but we're really, like, because if Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, it's hard to know. Well, the world is a massive place. And where do I do it? And how do I do it? And what we're trying to narrow down to actually find the people that God wants you to do. And how does that look like? Is that just, well, they're the people on my left and my right? Not necessarily. They're the people that that like you, listen to you, and serve you. That's for the paraphrase. So you look at the message last week for where that goes. And what do you do when, what do you do? You want to take this on today, is what do you do when you find this person of peace? You could bring them to church. Yes, but that's not what Jesus did. He didn't go, right, now that you want to follow me, let's go to the temple. It's not what he wants to do. And church, bringing people to church is fantastic. It is, like, don't get me wrong, but I think there's a process of what you and I, responsibility that we have to help people and disciple them. And so what I want to look at today is this next sort of part. And so we go to the next slide. The title of a message, if you, for those that like titles, is The Big Picture. Jesus, the Ultimate Disciple Maker. Now, I love jigsaw puzzles, sort of. It's like my cleaning thing. I like it, sort of. Hands up, those that are jigsaw like aficionados, like you love doing jigsaws. Really, there's three people, four people, five people. I see that hand going once, going twice. Okay, maybe there are people like me. When people say, let's do a jigsaw, I'm like, no. But once they get going and they do the bits and the pieces, they've gone and found, they've coordinated the colors, or done all the things that you should do if you really know what you're doing. I love coming in and putting the piece in. Who's those like that? Yeah, we're the lazy jigsaw people, right? We just go, yes, I got my bit. I want to do my bit. And the problem is, once you do this, you get so fixated on a color or a thing or a shape and stuff. You're like, oh, I got to find this, I got to find this thing. And then you're like, I got it. And then it, like, John, no, it doesn't quite work. The really difficult ones I'm talking about, not Finn's one, but the harder ones. So yeah, I had this way. And part of what we need to do, we can get, as Christians, so narrow focus on the piece of jigsaw, the pieces of jigsaw, that actually we lose sight of the picture, the frame that God has, the big picture of what God is actually trying to do. So we've been talking about helping people, finding people a peace, and you go like, okay, great, and it's fantastic, and we're going to hear some stories about that soon, but that's fantastic, but that's only like a few pieces of the puzzle. There's a big picture of what God is doing in the discipleship thing, and that's what Jesus does, and I want to look at that this morning. The first scripture that we're going to have a look at is in Luke chapter 6. If you have a printed Bible, you are an advantage this morning. If you have a printed Bible, hand up. If you have, hold up your printed Bible, because we're going to flick through it. Okay, we have three people, so four people, more than Love Jigsaw. So that's a good thing, I think. So I just want to read Luke chapter 6, four verses. One of those days, Jesus went onto a mountainside to pray. Prayer is huge in the ministry of Jesus. Prayer is huge in our ministry if we are to make disciples. And he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he calls his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he called Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who he was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. So he prays, and then at this moment, we're in Luke chapter 6, he's got these 12 disciples, and he's like, okay, I'm going to call you apostles, which means sent ones. I'm going to send you out, and you're going to do what I'm called you to do. And so we see the start of what God is actually doing. And I suggest to you there are four stages, postures, and like anything, it's not necessarily linear. I mean, you can look at the Bible. I'm trying to simplify it, but it isn't a simple process. And it isn't necessarily one step and two step. It's people are not like that. Okay, so it's a little bit more complicated. So understanding that, the first thing that we see, if we go to the next slide, is this phase of catalyst. So the beginning stage of any discipleship journey is what I'm going to call the catalyst journey. Jesus is looking for people of peace, and he's going to ask him. He's going to ask you a question: what can I start, spark, or initiate in the lives of people? So, what we need to do? Do you want me to find something else? Hard, but if you go to Luke chapter 3. If you have a printed Bible, if you have your own one there. Jesus starts his journey, gets baptized, he goes around, and he begins many, many, many people. And it's not until chapter 5 that we looked at, he kept says, Peter walked beside, he saw Simon, his brother. I'm going to use Mark's version because it's shorter. It's Peter's version of the story, and it's functionally shorter. Andrew's casting a net, and they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At that once they left their nets and followed him. So what's happening in this early stage of discipleship? He is looking for where God is at work in people's lives. Remember, we looked at a couple of weeks ago, Jesus preaches, he heals many people. At one point, they want to make him king, and he says, no. Look, he's just ministering and doing lots of different things for people, and yet he's trying to find the particular individuals that he's like, hey, I think that you're a person of peace, and I want to work with you. I'm going to do something in your life that God's going to, that will blow your mind. So what he says to Peter is, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He says to Levi, come follow me. What he doesn't do is sell everything. Some of you in your discipleship journey want to convince everybody and tell them everything at this point. You don't need to. Why? Because God's at work in their life. You need to trust the Word of God. You need to trust the Holy Spirit that He's doing something in their life. But what you're trying to do is be a catalyst. What Jesus is doing is being a catalyst in Peter's life. He says to him, come follow me. That side of the room, I'm sorry, I love you all, but something's gone wrong there that's not working. So if I stay here, maybe this will work. So it's not a big vision. We're going to be a global church that will save the world and people will come to faith and the kingdom of God will... It's not. Come follow me because there's something interesting in your life. What I found in my not making disciples is I've just sat with people in a coffee shop over a cup of coffee and said, I'm really interested in what God's doing in your life. Now, I might see, if I'm really honest, some things. I'm not like I'm seeing things, but I'm like, I think this person, I'm fascinated by this person. That'd be the honest conversation I say to Catherine. I'm not sure. I'm fascinated by this person. I want to know if there's something here. You might use the word chemistry, whatever it is, but for me, is this person a person of peace? And I sit there and I have a conversation and I trust that God is doing work and what's happening and I'm like, what's going on? And do you know what? The heavens part. Nothing like that happens. But that from my point of view, but I've had countless conversations on the other side years on where someone said, you know, when you met with me and we had a coffee, that changed my life. I'm not really sure. When I said, what did I do? They just said, I just felt like there was no condemnation, that God believed in me, and so I could just take the next step. It's powerful. You and I have this opportunity with the people in our world. Now, I may not be with everybody, but I'm saying, and this is what Jesus is doing, He's looking for what can I start, spark, and initiate in people's lives. And you can do this to people towards faith. I think if you want to hear some great stories, we'll talk about them soon, but let me just steal one of Catherine's. So actually, she'll have deliberate conversations about faith, church, Bible, experience. Just that's what you're looking for. See if something bigger comes. Do they want to ask questions? Do they share a story? Do they do something? Otherwise, if there's nothing there, then don't, it's okay. But the key for us is to pray. Let me go to the next slide. For us to be a catalyst, you have to do what Jesus did. We want to say, hey, come follow me as I follow Jesus. But what you need to do is do what Jesus did. And what you see in Luke chapter 4, at daybreak, Jesus went to a solitary place where the people were looking for him. And when they came, they tried to keep him from leaving. Jesus is in a solitary place to connect with God. He's going to make disciples, but he needs to pray. He often withdrew to lonely places. He often withdrew. So I want to encourage you, for you to find the people of peace, for you to cooperate with what God is doing, you have to pray. You have to pray. Because that's what Jesus did. And so we want to do what Jesus did and go, well, I don't need to do what Jesus did. I can just, hey, who workplace, who are my neighbors, who can I talk to? What is it? What is it? Yes, but pray, because otherwise you need to feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need to see what God is at work, because Jesus, what he's doing, the only way he could do that was by being in a place of prayer that he could actually see, oh, that's what God's doing. So I'm encouraging. One of the things that we want to do, and it is we're going to have a season of prayer and fasting next week, just for 5 days. And you're like, oh my goodness, I reckon if we can just do a short burst, that's what I can do. If you want to do 21 days, the Lord be with you. But I'm for me, and we're just going to pray and seek the face of God, because I think this Easter, on Sunday, we want to see people in this place that hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. we talk about the kingdom, but that only happens if we pray. So we want to do what we need to do. We need to think about the Father's business and work, but I want to encourage us to pray. So think about, like, I encourage you to fast. So that could be a food, whatever that is for you, that would just to help you stay focused on what God's doing. So the first thing is being a catalyst. The second stage of the discipleship journey is to be a coach. And so you can see this thing. So he's called the disciples, and then Luke chapter 6, which we read earlier, he calls them and he appoints them to be apostles, sent ones. Okay, I want to send you out to do what I'm doing, to say what I say, to heal people and to raise the sick and to do all these incredible, amazing things. What you need to see in this thing, I think the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how can I invest my time, attention, and energy? Because some of you have kept your get-out-of-jail-free card in discipleship making. When I've been talking the last couple weeks, you're like, yes, but you don't understand how busy I am. So I just pop that down and that's for everyone else. But I think if Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples, what we understand is as you go, make a disciple. It's not, all right, I'm going to go. It's as you do your life, make a disciple. So we don't have unlimited time, energy, and resource. And we look at Jesus, and here's sometimes what we look at. Well, he didn't work, and he was single. He didn't have to look after any kids or go on a date night. He didn't have any of that drama. So I don't have. But that's not true, because Peter was married. All of these disciples had busy lives. Some of them probably have kids. This is stuck. So you need to find where can I invest the limited time, the limited energy, and the limited attention that you have into the people around you. That's what Jesus did. Now, he loved and served everybody. He would stay up all night probably and pray, and he would preach, he would do incredible things, but deliberately withdrew with the 12. Probably even that, the three of them, Peter, James, and John, he spent more time with them, but he deliberately went, I can't spend the time with everybody, so I'm going to narrow it down. So my encouragement to you is to find those people and narrow your focus down to, okay, well, who can I spend my time, energy, and attention, and look at those people. And so what happens in the journey, just coming back to Jesus' story. So he does, and he says, all right, I want you to go. And then he takes the posture now of a coach. Like, you're on my team. You've decided to be here. You've just said yes to come follow me. You don't really know what you're in for. You know me, and you trust me, and you like me. So let's go on this journey. He then starts to coach them. So we look at the next slide. I think I've got some scriptures here. So he went down, and then he stood on the level place. I reckon, maybe controversial, because I think he just preached the Sermon on the Mount again. Because it's not a mount, it's a level place. Matthew chapter 6, it's a mountain. Here it's a level place. I reckon it was a cracker sermon. So he's like, I'm going to preach this again. A large crowd of his disciples with a great number of people from all of Judea, Jerusalem. And he starts and he looks at disciples for the sake of time. Let's go to verse 20. Because maybe he's healed everyone. So think, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. He starts to take the posture of the coach. And here's the thing. At the end of this whole incredible sermon, verse 46 of Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. What he's trying to do is, like, as a posture of a coach, it's not about what you know. It's who you know and what you do with what you know. are you going to obey what I'm asking you to do? Because the Pharisees knew everything. They knew a lot of scriptures. We looked at the other week that boys knew so much of the Old Testament. They remembered. So it's not about what you know. Jesus is like, do you obey me? Come on, can do this. So I want you to obey. That's the difference. It's about who you know and then with you obey what I want to do. So he flips knowledge on its head about relationship and obedience. And so in Luke chapter 8, I don't know if I have this next on the next slide or not. I'm not sure. No, I'll go back. Okay. Luke chapter 8 talks about the parable of the soils, which is what Jesus is doing. There's four different responses. A person of peace is the one 30, 60, and 100-fold. He's investing everywhere, but okay, this is the people I'm going to work with. He talks about calming. He calms the storm, and he talks to the disciples, hey, where's your faith? This posture of a coach. He's no longer trying to start something in their life. He's like, you're already here. All right, come on. Why are you so afraid? In chapter 9 of Luke, he gives them power and authority. Go and do what I do and say what I say. He's trying to teach them obedience. And then I love, if you read Luke's gospel in chapter 9 versus the other accounts of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus says, you feed them. Because they're like, what are we going to do? And he goes, I want you to feed them. And like, how are we going to do that? And so then they are forced to obey. Well, no, they're not forced, but they choose to obey. He's like, sit them down, this, do all this stuff. And there's a miracle that happens in that moment because they're sitting there obeying. They don't understand. They're obeying. See, Jesus is taking the place of a coach. He's like, hey, God wants to do something in your life. Let's journey this together. I think of an incredible pastor that I had the privilege of doing life with for a season where in the business of life, we'd have conversations together on the way to a ministry thing. It changed my life just by the conversations that I had with this pastor that was just, I asked him all the questions that I couldn't ask anybody else. We'd talk about stuff, we'd laugh and joke, and then I realized he's just normal. And he's just, because I had this opinion that pastors were like superhuman or something, that if he looked at me deeply enough, he'd see the sin in my heart. And so, weird ideas. But it's just journeying with somebody and coaching me. And it was really good to be in that place. So as you go, as you do what you do, involve people in your journey. As you go for on your walk, as you go to the movies, as you go to work, as you do all of that stuff, if there are people in your world, then they're saying, yes, let's start thinking of what I want to do. I'm going to coach what God is doing in their life. But the next phase is a posture of challenger. Because I can say, I believe in you. God's got a great work in you. But if I leave it there, it's a nightmare. You'll grow up throwing tantrums. It's not fair. Because I remember that same pastor. He confronted me one time. He said, hey, you weren't here at this thing that you said you were going to go to, and you weren't here. What's going on? I was like, yeah, hon. And he loved me. And I received that. Jesus becomes a challenger to the disciples. Let's read what happens. So once when Jesus was praying and his disciples asked him, who do the crowds say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, prophets. So what about you? Who do you say that I am? God's Messiah. So this is a pivotal point, a turning point. And then Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anybody. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed on the third day, be raised to the life. Verse 23. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will save it. The question I think Jesus is asking is, how can I challenge them to grow and to change? How can I challenge them to grow and change? That's what God is doing. And he's asking, okay, now that you're in and you're excited and you can see this, hey, we just need to deal with some of this stuff. I'm telling you, this is a process that Jesus does. You might be here today and you mean, I haven't said yes. I'm thinking about following. That's awesome. It's a process, a developmental journey. Interacts with you at a level that's appropriate to where you're at. But what he does at this point, where they go, I actually think you're the Christ. You're the Son of the Lord. He goes, all right, then you will have to die to yourself. Imagine, right at the beginning, come follow me and die. He'd be like, fish. I got other stuff to do. I can't tell my wife that. That's not going to work. No. But some of us want to jump from, hey, would you be thinking about life after death? How we want to bring this part of the relationship now. When actually it's a process. It's like, hey, think about what God's doing in your life. Hey, God's good. God's actually better than you think he is. Now that you know that he's actually good, let's just talk about some of this stuff. Let's look at what happens next. So let's go to the next slide. Luke chapter 12, the next development thing. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered so that they were trampling on one another. All right, so it's going off. The discipleship journey, the movement called the church, is going nuts. And Jesus began first to speak to the disciples. Be on your guard against the yeast of Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing to which not be disclosed or hidden, but not known. What you've seen in the dark will be heard, because what will kill a movement of disciple-making people is hypocrisy. Because you're saying, come follow me. Let's do this thing, this journey. And so this point, Jesus, it's going off. There's thousands of people. And he's like, guys, it's not about you. Don't pretend. He's narrowing the focus, and he's no longer just coaching them, but he's challenging them and going, okay, I need to change this. You can't just think that it's all about you. It's not about control, complexity, or hypocrisy. Let's look at the next slide. There's a whole bunch of scriptures. He then starts to talk to them, and these are the things that we preach. When you're in the kingdom, this is what you got to live, right? But you need to understand, they've been on this journey. So he says, do not worry about your life. Chapter 13, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and they won't. And, this is a clangor. If anyone comes to me and does not hate their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. What you need to see is that that's at this maturing process of their relationship with Jesus, where they're like, Jesus is everything. So that's not really that hard. It's a journey in this thing where they're like, we trust you. You do miracles. You are the answer to our life, to the problems of the entire world. Okay? So no one can serve two masters. Either you will love one or hate the other, be devoted to one. That's at this point. And this is Jesus, the challenger. It's like, hey, let's talk about this. And this is what he's talking to. He's predominantly in this stage, the disciples. He does other parables. He does other stuff. But what he actually tries to do is say challenge. And I want to tell you, hey, maybe some of you, you've checked at this point, gone, it's too hard. I want to encourage you, remember back to when you discovered that he was the answer, where you went, yes, Jesus is everything. And now Jesus wants to stuff in your life. He's challenging you to become more and more like God, become more and more like Jesus. It's for your own good that he's actually doing this. This is where if you're just teaching moral stuff, it doesn't work. It's true and it's good and it's right. but it's out of relationship. That's like, okay, this is the progressive journey of understanding. And so he's looking to be a catalyst. He progresses to be a, then he becomes a challenger. And then he becomes a champion. Championing the cause of the kingdom, but championing the disciples, where he basically says, I want you to surpass me. To quote John's gospel, I'm dipping out of that, you would do even greater things. This is the end of Jesus' ministry, the last days, really, where he's like, all right, now that you, like, I've started something and you can see that God's at work and it's great, and hey, we've just addressed some of the stuff that you need to think. Now, let's go. And what happens, I think, for me, something happens in Luke chapter 17 where Jesus is talking about something and they're like, increase our faith. And he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll be able to say this mulberry tree, be uprooted and cast in. And like, what? Let's go to the next thing, the sake of time. He says in Luke 22, I confer on you a kingdom, just as my father conferred one. What? That's crazy. But Jesus, come follow me. Look, let's do this. How about you feed them? How about you get involved in this stuff? Water, come. All right, now, hey, let's just be aware that you can be hypocritical too. I'm going to give you a kingdom. So my father gave me a kingdom. Or acts around him and the Lord, at this time, you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel. It's not for you to know the times of the day, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. I need you to, Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples. I'm wasting the end of the earth. You'll see the progression of what Jesus is doing, where he said, you won't even need me. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He will empower you, and you're going to do even greater things than me. You're going to go and reach, make more disciples. It is to your advantage that I go away. So, he downplays. Here's the thing, what you need to know in this place. You need to do greater things. He downplays his control and he empowers. It's a massive risk. But this is how much God loves you and believes in you when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a journey of let's just make more of these things. It's like God's at work in your life. God's at work in your life today. And you're in this process somewhere trying to do. I wonder if the team could come. I just want to finish. Where do you think you might be at in this story? That you might be here and you might be just fascinated, actually thinking about Jesus. Like he, there's something at work. I don't really totally get it all. But the next step in Jesus says, oh, I want something. God's gonna got greater plans for you. I want to partner with you. I want to be involved in your life. Let me bring this out. And you maybe need to make that decision where there will be a catalytic moment. And maybe today's that day. Because Jesus is standing there one day and says, who do you think that I am? This is doing a catalytic moment. Like, let's just talk about who do you think I am? At one point, all of us need to make a decision to go from just, I'm following, to I know him. They're still going to follow him, but it has to be some deciding moment that we cross over. And I want today, if we could just bow our heads just for a moment, I want to give them opportunity on this. Maybe you've been journeying, you've been coming to church. And yes, actually, Jesus, you're it. I'm going to put all my eggs in the basket of following you. And I just want you to just lift your hand up and put it down. There's nothing crazy in that. It's just a trigger point. I want to talk with you and pray with you. If there's anybody in that place today, if you're watching online, why don't you respond to us? But if you just put your hand and put it down, that'd be great. I can help you on that journey. Awesome. Can I talk to everybody else? Can you see that God's at work in your life? That He's doing stuff. And as well, I started by saying, this is not necessarily linear. There might be things God's like, hey, let's, you need to follow me in part of your life. And we work through the journey. But maybe you've recognized, as I've tried to explain it in a thing, that you're stuck in some place or that you want to do what God's called you to do, but He's nailing you on some stuff that you just can't get through. We all get stuck in some place or shape or form, but it's about surrender to Jesus, who loves us, who's incredible. So why don't we stand this morning? I want to, maybe as an act of faith or as a way of maybe helping you get unstuck, movement is important. And so just where you are, I'm going to ask you to come out. If you feel like one place, only Jesus, you love Jesus, but you feel like you're stuck in one space or not, why don't you just lift your hand up? I want to pray for you. Just put it down. If there's anybody in that place. Awesome. Anybody else? Great. Lord, I thank you that you love us. That you see us with all of our flaws, our frailties, but then you see way more than that. You see what we could be. You see who you created us to be and who you remade us to be in Christ. Lord, today, for those that feel stuck, I pray, Lord, you would reveal them, what do they need to do? How to change their thinking? How do they repent and believe? Stop thinking one way and start thinking in faith in this other way. Jesus. Just listen to what God's saying to you, right? Lord, for all of us, I pray, as we go about our life, help us to make disciples. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for whatever station, season, sphere that we're in, we have an opportunity. And as we go, in the busyness of all that we do, we just pray, empower us and fill us. I thank you, Lord, today you are championing us. You are interceding for us. Lord, you have good plans for us and you are sending us out. But you're not going to leave us as orphans. The Spirit of God is here. And so we ask, Lord, fill us afresh again with your Holy Spirit. We, your temple, we fill us again, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we would then just go out and make disciples. So, Lord, help us to just be mindful of what you're doing in the people around us. And we just trust in you. We know that you're leading us. You know, we know that you're at work. And so we just want to cooperate with what you're doing. Thank you for this. Amen. Amen. Hey, so what we do from here, there's a whole bunch of things that you hang out, eat some lunch together with us. But I want to encourage you, if you want prayer, maybe you want to talk with somebody and you're feeling a little bit stuck when you come out the front, or if you want to say yes to follow Jesus and didn't have the courage to do it up the front and like this, that around here. I want to talk with you, help you on that journey. And think about, start thinking, who can you invite for Easter? Or just even have a conversation with. Hey, God's at work in your life and God's at work in the people around you. Start believing it, start thinking it, start confessing it, and pray in the meantime. All right, God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.